May my words be spoken in humility, delivered in compassion, received with grace, and inspire a closer walk with you, O God. In the name of the Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, amen. You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Reverend Jeff Vitt. My wife, Christine, and I have been attending Redeemer for the better part of 2 years now, and we have loved participating and getting to know this warm and welcoming community. I serve as a spiritual care provider for a hospital in long-term care here in Toronto, and I'm honored to speak with you this morning. Well, congratulations are in order. You made it. 2017, an exciting year is just beginning, and you've made it. We have successfully survived the first week, and it is now Epiphany. It's a wonderful time of year, and of course, all of you have left up your Christmas decorations, including the tree, like proper Christians. You are now allowed to take them down. Liturgically speaking, we are still mindful of the Christmas story, and Epiphany celebrates the story of the Magi and God's revelation in Jesus as a full-fledged human being, birth and all. Many of the stories told around Christmas time, the story of the three Magi is one of my favorites. As we have heard from the scriptures this morning, it's a story about a journey. The journey of three men to find a newborn king, and they are led by a miraculous star. And when the child is found, they bow in reverence and bestow gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Growing up, I have fond memories of the Christmas season with my family in Indiana. Decorating the tree and putting up the nativity scene at its base was always a family event. Our nativity scene was one of those fancier ones with good-sized ceramic figures that were hand-painted, a wooden stable, and a little light-up star on top. My sister and I would take turns placing each of the characters. We would start with the farm animals, the donkey, the lamb, the little cow, and a camel. Then we'd place the shepherds and the magi, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. It wasn't a terribly historically accurate nativity scene, so Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were as white as could be, and with blonde hair and blue eyes. But it was a nice effort all the same. On some odd years, I would get to place the magi, and along with that, I would get to light the little electric star that hung over the stable with the angel. And when we placed the magi, we pointed them to the star that guided their way there. I just love that image, the image of a star guiding them. For centuries, humanity has gazed at the stars and often asked deep questions, sought inspiration from them, or just got caught up in a sense of awe and wonder staring at the night sky. Imagine what sort of night sky must have looked like when there was absolutely no light pollution, no cities that would shine up into the sky in Jesus's day. It must have been an astonishing sight. And that's what I'd like to dwell on a little bit today, is this sense of wonder and awe that accompanies us on our journeys, and think a little bit about how God might be doing something in these moments of wonder and awe. These moments that Isaiah described as, "Then you will look and be radiant, your heart will thrill and rejoice." I was trying to recall the last time I felt this sense of awe and wonder, and I remembered this past summer, I had the privilege of enjoying my very first genuine Canadian cottage experience. I visited a lake in Manitoba and spent a few perfect days away from the hustle and bustle of the city. I enjoyed good food, good company, spending time reading and hiking and just being at the lake. One evening, we took the boats out, and at first, everything was pitch black. You could not see the hand in front of your face. The boats had some little lights so we could see each other, but that was pretty much all you could see. Darkness was just everywhere. And then once we got to a safe location out on the lake, we turned off the engines and turned out all the lights and just looked up. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I started to see small pinpricks of light, and not just a few, but thousands upon thousands of them. It was the most clear evening I had ever seen, and we were so far from any kind of civilization or light pollution. So many stars, and I could even see the Milky Way. I had never seen the Milky Way in person before. Have you ever seen this? It was so clear that you could see satellites, and you could see the International Space Station floating above. There were at least half a dozen shooting stars that evening in a short span of time. It was just so wonderful and so amazing. I could have stayed out there for hours. It felt so vast, so large, and I felt so small, but it wasn't uncomfortable. It just felt like a sacred moment out there in the middle of the lake. Then, of course, the mosquitoes began to arrive, and they would have drained us if we had stayed out much longer, so we hurried back. The thought struck me that this perfect night sky could have been a little closer to what the Magi saw all those nights out in the desert. And I tried to imagine what it would have been like to walk in the wilderness and every night see this astonishing display of celestial lights that just grip you in wonder. And at the end of all those nights and that long journey, you find Jesus. Following one bright star out of tens of thousands in the night sky, they encountered the king that they sought. And when they found Jesus and his family, they gave gifts and they worshiped him. When reading these passages this year, I realized that some of the very first people who encountered and worshiped Christ were not Jewish. We are told that the Magi came from the east and are traditionally considered to be the men Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar, kings of eastern realms. These were Gentile kings from different countries and different races, meeting a poor Jewish family in the small town of Bethlehem. This means that one of the first examples we have of people worshiping Jesus is an international, interfaith, interclass, and interracial event. The message of Epiphany is all about God breaking down barriers, whether they be between God and humanity or between human beings and themselves. This speaks to what Paul later wrote, that the mystery of Christ was one that was just not up for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles and all the world. The Magi knew they were in the midst of something amazing and wondrous. And when I'm in these moments, one thing I notice is that the things that seem so big to me, those big problems that create so much stress in my life, the big things that don't seem quite as big. When we are in awe, we are outside of ourselves. It is difficult to think selfishly when one is in awe. Awe is defined as a mixture of fear and reverential respect. It's these wondrous moments in our lives when we encounter the breaking in of God, and they inspire us, energize us, and motivate us. And the things that seem to separate us from one another don't seem to be quite as important. And so I'd like to try to give you something to wonder about this morning, if I can. As a minister, it's a bit tricky because I'd like to tell you exactly how to have these experiences, but that's not how it works. The best I can do is share something that might give you a moment of wonder, something that may spark something in you. And so it's here that I'd like to try something a bit unorthodox and controversial. I assure you, it's perfectly innocent. All of you who are able to search the internet on your phones, I want you to take them out. We're going to try looking up a picture together. This may be the only chance you get to acceptably take your phone out in a church service, so I want you to take advantage of this opportunity. open up the internet application on your phone, and we can take a little bit of time, and search out the phrase pale blue dot. Pale blue dot. Got it? What should come up first are a few images, and if you want to click that first image, if you don't get an image, it should be a Wikipedia article, and go ahead and click on that, and there should be an image associated with that. For those of you who don't have access to it, it's easy enough to describe. At first, what you see is a very grainy photo with lots of dark space. You see what looks to be bands of colored light stretching from the top and the bottom. And in the brightest band on the right-hand side, it's sort of an orangish-brownish band. About halfway down, there's a very small blue speck of light. That small blue speck is Earth. Here's a little context. That image is the very last image that the Voyager spacecraft took before it left our solar system in 1990. It had just completed its original mission of cataloging data and taking photos of various planets, including Jupiter, Saturn, and the moon Titan, just before it went out of range of our system, well past Pluto. It was commanded by NASA to turn around and take one last image of Earth. In that image, the Earth is over 6 million kilometers away. Carl Sagan, the astronomer and author, penned these words upon the reflection of this image. Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you ever loved, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, who lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy, our sufferings, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and every peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, every hopeful child, inventor, explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than the distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. So, go do some stargazing. Go to the museum, look at some art or some fossils. We have an excellent one right next door. Listen to a symphony. Treat yourselves to some wonder. Pay attention to those things that give you a sense of awe and wonder and meaning. It may be God reaching out and asking you to come out and play a bit and grow closer to one another. In a way, this church has been on a long journey, a bit like the Magi. In the process of seeking a new incumbent, we have attempted to be faithful to what we believe and what we would be in our community, knowing that God has been preparing the right person for us. But I also wish to posit that God has been changing us as we've been seeking, making our community the right fit for the person who will join us. So during this Epiphany season, let us be mindful of God in our midst, continue to be faithful to who we are in our community, and be open to the amazing and wondrous ways that God may surprise us in this new year. Thank you.